News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Keeping Ireland connected with no limits data on AIR Mobile.
How is the world dealing with the fight against coronavirus? Well, we are joined by Dr. Margaret Harris from the World Health Organization. Margaret, without getting ahead of ourselves, are there just a few signs that mainland Europe has turned a bit of a corner?
Good morning, Shane. Morning. Yes, there are hopeful signs that that legendary curve is flattening out in quite a number of the countries that had been experiencing or are experiencing very, very large outbreaks. And that is a good sign because that will then give the health system space to deal with the people who will still get sick, will still get severely ill. But if the hospitals and the staff have more time and more space to deal with them, ideally fewer people will die.
I'm thinking of just a few countries that just have hit the headlines in the last couple of days. Austria starting to unwind some of their measures. I think Norway doing the same. I'm curious, how do you do that safely? What's the next step in the process? Because obviously it's not just back to normality straight away.
Well, certainly this is a really big challenge now for so many authorities. One of the ways you can do it is look at what other people have done. We're seeing the same sorts of things happening in China. They're very slowly but gently getting back to what I don't think normal will be the same as it was before this thing hit us all, but getting back to a functioning economy and a society that's functioning in the ways that normally expect to function. Gently, slowly, carefully, and still understanding the importance, absolutely crucial importance of environmental and hand hygiene and of distancing, because there is no guarantee that the virus is not still going to return to any of those communities, especially since we're all so globally connected.
Those countries that are starting to think even about unwinding, Norway, Austria, Germany, why are they ahead of the curve? What have they done well?
I wouldn't be able to give you a direct analysis, and also I try to avoid a beauty contest between countries.
Yeah, fair enough.
But generally, where we've seen this work, it's because there's been excellent testing, there's been excellent surveillance, there's been excellent isolating of those people who are potentially exposed. So where you, when you've got eyes on the virus and you've got the commitment of the community around wherever that's infection is to genuinely self-isolate, genuinely take the hand hygiene precautions, the environmental hygiene precautions, acceptance of social distancing, these things are working, and that's what we're seeing.
So the advice for Ireland would be keep doing what you're doing and obviously, insofar as is possible, ramp up the testing.
Exactly. You know, it's tough, but you've got your curve is slow. It's tough, but keep at it and you'll get there.
You see signs our curve is flattening.
And it's still going up, but it's a slower curve. So just keep at it.
OK, a couple of other quick things. The BCG, this suggestion that having the BCG vaccine might play a role in making you less likely to get it certainly not doesn't provide immunity, but make you less likely or provide some kind of protection. Does the WHO have a view on that at this stage?
Oh yes, we've done a lot of research on that. In fact, we had a view on this before the outbreak. So the BCG is a very interesting vaccine. It's been around for more than 100 years. Mm. I think it was first used in the 1920s, or first identified as something that could be used in the 1920s. But what we found, it's not used in many countries now because tuberculosis for many of us is a thing of the past. But in Africa, it still exists, and children there get the BCG as babies. And they found that even babies who were malnourished, you know, in a very bad kind of physical situation, did not die of respiratory illnesses. And people started looking at this research. And the theory is that it primes the immune system against a raft of respiratory illnesses. We're not 100% sure why. But because of that phenomenon, which has been well described in Africa, and we've got research papers on it on our website if you care to read it, a big trial is now going on in Australia with healthcare workers to see if, in fact, it does give them some immune protection. So, it, as you say, it will not be the vaccine, but it might be something that gives a little added protection.
Okay, all right. Well, which is interesting in this Ireland, in Ireland, because up until quite recently, all kids did get it because we had a big problem with TB. Just a couple of last things: masks. The latest advice from the WHO on masks: should we be wearing them when we're going to out to supermarkets, for example?
Yeah, so we've revised our guidance to clarify some things because people thought that we were saying don't wear masks. Now, that's not been the position. What we have been saying is don't take the medical masks because they are really, really needed by the healthcare workers right now. But we do say if you are potentially infectious, it is a good idea to cover your mouth and nose as a barrier. Now, the problem is with this virus, people don't always know they're infectious. They can be infectious prior to developing the symptoms. So in some countries, they're asking people to cover their mouth and nose with some kind of barrier, whether it be a bandana or a material mask or something, so that if they're going to, say, the supermarket, you're protecting the cashiers if you, by chance, are infectious without knowing.
Does it not provide protection then against actually getting it particularly? Is it more about not giving it?
Exactly. It's exactly right. It's about you being thoughtful for other people.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Dr. Margaret Harris from the World Health Organization. Always good to talk to you. Thanks indeed for that, Margaret.